There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are at work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines.
Well, here we are, Super Bowl Sunday. We're still in our Prepare series. We're asking the question, what does it look like for us to be preparing to receive the Holy Spirit? And if the Holy Spirit were to come into our lives, how would that change us? How would that change our church? How might that change our city? And as we've had this conversation, we've been talking about a lot of different things along the way. And we've been talking about what it would look like to be able to confess Jesus in the midst of our darkest valley, what it might look like to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the point that we could confess Jesus on our highest mountaintop, that no matter how low we were, no matter how high we were, we could acknowledge Jesus Christ and his will for our lives. We've talked about what it means for our bodies to be temples of the Holy Spirit and for the Holy Spirit to be dwelling in us. And then last week, we talked about what that Spirit might look like, what that temple might look like as he comes to dwell in us in a way that he changes our inner being. And two things we talked about last week was this movement in our own hearts where we were taking counsel from the Holy Spirit, this one who comes beside us to give us words of wisdom and knowledge and instruction, but also what it looks like to have other brothers or sisters come alongside us to also be speaking truth to us as we find brothers and sisters that we love and that we trust that we would be willing to say to, will you tell me the truth about my life or anything you see in me that's not of Jesus? And I'm convinced around this idea that until we see this inner movement of the Spirit, then whatever happens in our lives in an outward manner probably won't matter very much. But that's what we're going to talk about today. And Bree has already read the scripture for us out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here's the thing. I have become a much larger football fan the older I have gotten. Now, I played football back in the day, like third, fourth, fifth, up through eighth grade. I'm really glad that I didn't play more football because with the limited football I played and then the baseball I played, my body already feels it. Like my body's already mad at me for having played football back in the day. My knees are mad at me. My back is mad at me. So I'm glad I didn't go on and like try to play through high school because I don't know what I'd be feeling like today. But something's happened. The older I'm getting, the more I appreciate about the game itself. I'm not trying to highlight for you today, not trying to start a debate today about the NFL, about college football, about whether or not we should pay college football players and all the ins and outs and all that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about the reality of the game itself and the strategy that goes behind the game. The older I get, the more fascinated I am around the fact of teamwork and what it looks like for a team to come together, 11 players on offense, 11 players on defense, and for each of those individuals to do their part for the common good of the entire team. And the truth is it doesn't stop there. It goes on into other players, special teams players. It goes into coaching staffs. It goes into GMs and those who are making financial decisions, all the way down to the managers and the water boys and everybody who's making it happen on behalf of the team. Now, here's what happened. I've already had several people come up to me today and just remind me that the Packers are not playing in the Super Bowl. Right? Newsflash, I know that. I am a Packer fan. Okay? See, here's what happened, though. In the offseason, actually before the offseason, the Packers coach was fired. And they've gone about finding a new coach. They already have a new coach. And oftentimes what happens is when the team is not playing very well, we got to blame somebody, right? He's the identified patient. The players aren't doing too well. We got to get rid of the coach. We got to get a new coach in here. Now, here's the thing for all you Bears fans. We played you in the first game of the season this year. Yeah, tremendous comeback. Aaron Rodgers won yesterday, the moment of the year, because of his comeback against you guys. I just need you to understand that, okay? But I can tell you as a Packer fan, I knew in that first game of the season that we were in trouble because we didn't have an offensive line. Now, some of you are sitting out there right now and you go, Dwayne, what's an offensive line? I'm glad you asked. Okay, the most popular and typically the highest paid person on an NFL football team is their quarterback. Those are the names you hear: Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, on down the line. But the thing is, your offensive line represents those five guys that are about four times larger than I am, and they're the ones who crouch down right here with the ball, the center, the tackles, and the guards. And the quarterback gets to stand behind these five people. Is it guards and tackles, Dan? Okay, sorry for... Okay, so it's center, guards, and tackles. A little correction from the peanut gallery down here. Here's what happens in a typical offensive play in football. The ball is passed through the legs of the center, and the quarterback receives the ball. And once the quarterback receives the ball, there are really only a few options. Either the ball will be handed off to a running back who is then looking for an open hole, or the quarterback will drop back in an attempt to pass the ball to one of his receivers or a tight end or a running back. There are really only a few options, but I got news for you. None of that is successful if the five men up front don't do their job to either protect the quarterback from him getting pummeled or opening up a hole so the running back can go through. Now, my guess is if you're alive today, you've probably heard the name Tom Brady somewhere along the line. In fact, you may have heard that name about a million times just in the last 7 days. He is what many in the NFL refer to as the GOAT, the G-O-A-T, the greatest of all time. The Patriots will play tonight in their Super Bowl, the 10th Super Bowl since Brady has been their quarterback. It's unprecedented. It truly is amazing the success this team has had. But despite hearing the Kraft name, they are the owners of the Patriots, or hearing the name Tom Brady, who is the quarterback of the Patriots, there are five other names that I guarantee you have not heard this week, but truly are, I believe, the linchpin to tonight's game. They represent the offensive line of the New England Patriots. Without the offensive line of the New England Patriots, Brady doesn't have a chance. I'm sorry, Ashley. Brady doesn't have a chance. Preach it. That's right. Now, these guys are so unknown, I wrote down their last names because I don't even know them. These guys don't make fantasy football teams. We don't know who these guys are. Brown, Tooney, Andrews, Mason, and Cannon. I would contend to you that those are the five most important people to the Patriots' success tonight. Not Brady, not Sony Michel, not James White, not even Gronkowski. These five men who are up front. And if they don't do their job, the Patriots won't win. If they do their job, bad news for the Rams. This is not unique to football, though. We see all throughout life different parts that play different purposes to a much larger whole. One of my closet confessions to you is that I love to play chess. I probably didn't even know what chess was till I was out of college, but I love to play chess. In the game of chess alone, you have a team that is there, and each team member functions in a different manner, in a different capacity, can do different things, but all to accomplish the one purpose of putting the other, your opponent's king in check. And the different pieces move differently. They can't do the same moves. They can't function in the same way. They can't go the same number of spaces. On a chessboard, you have one team that functions in many different ways for one purpose. You could pick your team sport of choice. Doesn't work real well when we're talking about individual sport. Your team sport of choice. Each individual has a particular purpose, but designed for one common goal, one common theme, one common hope as a team. Here's the thing. We see it in music. Different notes, different instruments come together to make sounds of harmony, to bring about sounds of harmony that have the power to give life to us. Have you ever thought about just how sentimental we get around music? Like, what song would we have to put on the speakers today for you to like instantly go to tears? Like, oh man, I remember that song because I remember that time in my life. Well, none of that works if different instruments and notes and abilities come together to make that happen even in something like music, not just in sports. Well, here's where the image falls short for us. For 2,000 years, the church has been trying to make sense of that reality as it relates to us as a body. And that's the word that Paul used in throughout his writings to his early churches. He wanted the body of Christ, the church, to understand how it functions so that it could function in its most successful capacity. And the one thing that he wanted the body of Christ in Corinth to understand was that this one big body of Corinth was made up of many different members. And that those members represented different parts of the body, and those different parts of the body represented different functions within the body, but that ultimately, if the most important part of the body, all the way down to the least important part of the body, didn't function as it was supposed to, it wouldn't truly succeed in being the body of Christ that they were called to be. Now, he gets into that language a little bit later than what Bree read for us this morning. But here's what she read for us this morning. She read the idea that there is one Spirit, there is one God, there is one Lord who distributes different gifts to us as people. And he actually uses different words there. He doesn't simply use gifts. He talks about acts of service, he talks about talents, talks about gifts of mercy, but that they all come from the one Spirit to create within us a body so that we function for the common good. In other words, each and every one of us have been given a gift, an ability, a talent. Each one of us have been blessed in some way, something about our personality, something we've been given in our hand, something about our makeup that we are called to contribute to the larger body of Christ. Otherwise, we don't succeed. And here's the truth. Without every member of the body playing their part, guess what? The head of this body doesn't have a chance to succeed. Guess who the head is of Center Point Church? Right, Jesus Christ. Dwayne's not the head of Center Point Church. Our staff is not the head of Center Point Church. Our church board is not the head of Center Point Church. Jesus is the head of Center Point Church. And the invitation that each of us have been given is to play our part, whatever that part is, based on the giftedness that the Spirit of God has given us, to play that outward part so that Jesus the head is lifted up, so that he is worshiped and praised, and that he's able to draw people unto himself. And so when Paul comes on the scene and he throws out this idea that you have been blessed and you have been blessed and you have been blessed for the common good, it's the idea that each of you possess something that I don't possess, but I need it. And I can't be all God's calling me to be without it. No matter how cool I am, smart I am, self-sufficient I am, prideful I am, I can't be all God wants me to be without tapping into the gift that the Spirit of God has given you, so that part of you and your giftedness completes part of the empty in me. Isn't that an amazing design that God has given the church? Truly amazing. We wouldn't imagine today an NFL quarterback saying in an interview, you know what, I don't really need my O-line. I'm just going to go out there this week and just kind of do it on my own. That person would get pummeled play after play after play after play. But sometimes in the church, we don't think we need to participate because we think we are okay. We are self-sufficient in what we have and what we possess. And I just don't need your gift speaking into my life. It's kind of the same language we were talking about last week about this idea of what it means to live in isolation versus community. Now here's what happens. We believe through Paul's writings that if you're a follower of Christ today, the Holy Spirit of God has gifted you in some way. There's not a follower of Christ in the world today that the Spirit has not gifted with some gift, some blessing of service, some blessing of mercy. God has gifted each and every one of us who are following after Jesus so that we might contribute to the common good of the larger body of Christ. Now here's the thing though. There are a few caveats to this. First of all, we've got to go through the process to begin to understand what those gifts might be. Pretty simple question, rhetorical for you though. Have you ever taken a spiritual gifts assessment? There are some great little tools out there to help us go through a process of answering questions so that through this tool, we might identify what some of our gifts may be. And there are a lot of gifts on the registry. This week, I will be sending out to the entire congregation a link to a website, giftstest.com, if you don't want to wait on that email, giftstest.com. It'll take you about 5 minutes to go through the test, and it'll give you a breakdown of your top five spiritual gifts and how it is you might best function in your local church through the outward movement of the Spirit of God from your life into the lives of others. Maybe you have the gift of administration. You love to organize things. You love to organize people. There's a place for you in the midst of the body of Christ to help Christ be lifted up. Maybe you're just a true servant at heart. You want to serve and you want to be behind the scenes. You don't ever want Dwayne to pull you up and applaud you publicly. You just want to do your part behind the scenes where nobody can see. And if that means putting labels on water bottles in your home at midnight on a Friday night of a daddy-daughter ball, you'll do that. But you don't want anybody to see it. You don't want anybody to recognize it. You just want to serve in that capacity. Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe God is giving you the ability to open up the Word, to break it down, and to take people who don't understand the Word as well and help it make sense to them. And you could sit in front of a class, or you could sit at a coffee shop, or you could stand on this stage and break down the Word of God so that people might understand and come to a better understanding of what salvation means for them and their lives. Maybe you have the gift of discernment. Maybe you're able to look at two situations or two people or two scenarios and you're able to hear the voice of God say, you know what, this is where we should go with this. And you're sensitive to the Spirit because there's a movement of prayer at work in your life. Maybe you have the gift of fellowship and hospitality. Maybe you don't ever want to stand on a stage. You don't ever want to sing a song. But if a new family came to Center Point, you'd be the first to open the doors of your home and say, welcome, we want to share a meal with you. We want to get to know you. There's a place for every single believer in the body of Christ to be enacting their gifts in a very outward way, but something inward has to happen before the outward movement can happen very faithfully. So let me break down for you real quickly where we are in the state of the church in North America. This is an old statistic, but unfortunately it's still true. 20% of the people in the local church in North America do 80% of the work. You know what that means? It means there's a whole lot more spectators than there are servants in the church. This will be over in 30 seconds. Just grin and bear it. Some of us are a part of Center Point, and the entire relationship we've had with Center Point has been a consumer relationship. What can I get from Center Point? What can Center Point give me? How will Center Point make me happy? How will Center Point entertain me? How will Center Point serve my family? And some of us, we've yet to take that step from consumer to servant within this very body of Christ. Church, I need you to hear this truth today. Maybe the fact that I'm wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey will lessen the blow. God has given you an ability, a spiritual ability, to serve this entire body, but He can't do anything through you if He doesn't have your availability. God has given you an ability, a spiritual ability, to serve this entire body of Christ, but He can't do anything through you if He doesn't have your availability. Center Point, if you're here, and you've simply been a consumer of the religious goods that we disseminated as a church, it's time for you to step up and step out and take your place as a servant within this body, because the rest of us can't be all God's calling us to be until you come along and start to exercise your spiritual gift. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. There are no quarterbacks who want to go out there without an offensive line. You say, Dwayne, what part could I play? What are you passionate about? What do you care about? If I sent you a spiritual gifts link, would you go on it and would you take it and would you get back to me and say, here's what I came up with. There's a part for each and every one of us to play, but the Spirit can't do much with that spiritual ability without our availability. Center point today, how available are you for the Spirit of God to start doing something outwardly through you? The scripture tells us that faith without works is dead. In other words, we confess it with our mouths all we want. We can feel it in our hearts all we want. But if it doesn't take an expression out in the world in a physical way, in a physical manner, it is dead. I have a praise. One of the greatest things that I believe God has called me to is to teach and to preach. If you're taking a nap right now, you might feel differently. I apologize. But I believe that over the years, God has used people, brothers and sisters in Christ, to affirm in me that one of my primary gifts is proclaiming the good news of God, preaching the Word of God, and sharing that with people. I get gentle reminders along the way, as should you, around your spiritual gifts and the exercise of your spiritual gifts. I'm going to keep this clean because today is Family Worship Sunday, but adults, you'll make the connection with me. But I got an email 2 weeks ago that literally stopped me in my tracks and brought me to tears in that moment. It simply said this. It said, "Dear Dwayne, 8 years ago, you preached a message related to my particular addiction, and I'm here to tell you that on that day, God freed me from that addiction, and this year I will be ordained as an elder in the Church of the Nazarene. Friends, I can't tell you what a gift it is for me to see some little bit of confirmation that if God has my availability, He'll use the ability He's given me to have a real impact on someone's life. And you know what? We are on the same team, working for the same purpose, that the head of the church might be lifted up. And friends, He needs your availability in order to work His ability through you. There's a Joe in your life. There's a Joe in this church. There's a Joe somewhere out there who needs your availability so the Spirit of God can get to that person and bring freedom or joy or peace or comfort or whatever it is He wants to do in their lives. Center point, God needs our availability. Will you give that to Him? I'm going to send you a link this week, giftstest.com. And I would love to start walking beside any of you that would say, "Dwayne, I want to explore that spiritual gift, and I really want to take some steps about understanding how my giftedness might contribute to the overall success of this church," because we understand that at this church, we're simply trying to lift Jesus up, because if we lift Him up, He'll draw all people unto Himself. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank You so much. And thank You so much for putting us in a place where we truly do have to rely on one another for life, for faith, for all good things. And God, we're blessed today to know that You have gifted each and every one of us, not for our own gain, not for our own promotion. God, You've gifted us so that we might be a blessing to those around us. So God, I pray for the person who's out there right now, who's yet to take that step in this local body, but has been on the sidelines, has been in their own world, and God, You're ready for them to step out into the life of the body, into a life of faith where they receive an ability from You, a spiritual ability that You want to exercise through their availability. God, help us to do that today. God, I pray all across this room as we glean life from one another, as we are encouraged by one another, give us words that readily convey our thankfulness to those who come alongside us, to those who bless us. And Lord, if there's anything good that You do through us and our availability, God, we will be careful to turn back and give You thanks and praise. You are the giver of all good gifts, and we know You have our best in mind. We love You today. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.